And ask Alex for to take the roll call.
Okay, Representatives Chairman Sanford.
Here.
Bo.
Here.
Martinson.
Here.
Senators Krebsbach, Holmberg, Robinson.
Aye.
And members Bollinger.
Here.
Collins.
Here.
Dolan.
Here.
Shivers.
Here.
And Winiger. Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. It's a little early for senators, I see. Consideration of the minutes of November 15th. I have a motion to approve.
Second.
This is a second. Discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Minutes approved. So let's look at the agenda and get right into the work for today. Everybody has a copy of the potential models that Alex has been working on and sent to you. We received some comments and tried to make adjustments and incorporate those comments into the charts as well. But essentially we have the current model, we have a couple of other proposals, and then we have one that's multi-purpose, so to speak, or but I think it'd be fair to say that what happens is these are almost tiered. They start at the current model, there's an adjustment and another adjustment, and it adds and progresses in terms of the adjustments that are made. And when you finally get down to the 3A, B, and C, you probably have the composite, so to speak, of the things that we've talked about during the other meetings. So let's just take a very quick overview of these, and then we'll get into to discussing them and potential actions on them. So the first one, the current one, the thing that is probably different than what we've operated with on traditionally is that there is no hold harmless. And that was a pretty large, high voiced message from the legislature at the last session. But the recommendation from the higher ed group was that that was an important factor. And I think as a committee, we looked at that at the last meeting and agreed that that ought to continue. I think also at the last meeting, we talked about the data and whether the four-year or two-year-old, depending upon how you want to classify it, if this was current enough. There have been some suggestions from legislators at the last meeting of the regular higher ed committee in Williston that that seemed like it wasn't like fine wine. It shouldn't be as aged like that, and that it would be better if we had more current. But we've talked about that in this group and agreed with the higher ed folks that that provides a, it meets their collection timelines. It meets their opportunity to have a longer view, so to speak, in the planning. And so I think we've incorporated data system as is into these other proposals then. So we've got the hold harmless, we've got the data, and then as we go through the progressions, we did accept the ideas that the computer science needed to be part of engineering, and that there ought to be some kind of modification for the CTE weighting. And both of these actually seem to be very good from the standpoint that those are current topics, not only in with legislators, that's where there's where the jobs are, but obviously it's the reality in the job markets and in the real world where these graduates go to work. So encouraging, and getting sure that, being sure that we get real costs here was an important part of those two discussions. And I think, again, I think we signaled at the last meeting that that was something that would work for us. So when you look at Proposal 1 and Proposal 2, particularly Proposal 1, you see that the fact that we do recognize the hold harmless, we do recognize the computer science credits, and we also approved the fact that there was a problem in the formula before, that when somebody actually was growing and making progress in their number of credits awarded, they actually got penalized when they went into the next tier. So we've taken care of that and said, no, that's not going to happen, and we have a model in place that we've agreed to take care of that. So there have been some significant changes. All of that that I just talked about, with the exception of the CTE, are found in Proposal 1. Proposal 2 then takes and adds the computer science credits, as had been talked about, the CTE credits going from a 2 to a 2.7. And I think it's important to again reiterate that the 2.7 was based on actual costs. And that's one of the things that we ask the higher ed people to do, is review the costs and provide the assurance that if we did make this kind of a modification, it was based on something that was experienced, that this was not a pick a number out of the air kind of thing.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Holmberg.
How old was that data as far as what current costs were? Was that the most recent data that exists? So that would be 2 years old.
Ms. Dolan, Colin.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Holmberg, so the financial data used was from the 2017-19 biennium, so that is the most recent available.
You know, sometimes we use the term, we're using four-year-old data. Well, some of it's 4 years old. Not all of it is, and I think in some respects it's almost better to use the last biennial data. That's the way we operate in North Dakota, so. But yeah, so okay. Further questions on that? So in Proposal 2, the other thing that is there that has been discussed and not really finished, so to speak, was the size factor. And the fact that we have a separate model there are some, recognizes costs that are incurred for certain programs. And that size factor, when it substitutes for the scale factors that the other institutions operate on, it is used to it's multiplied times courses like freshman English and freshman math and so on. So it isn't a real perfect match for those, and so there's some issues with that. So there was a modification here trying to utilize the fact that there was extra weighting now being given to these two program areas, which could offset the cost of taking the size factor from a 1.7 down to a 1.5. So essentially what we found with the data that came forward was that those two would offset 0.2 of that 1.7 size factor that we had. So that's what this one demonstrates here. Then three has got three different versions, and I think all of you have had a chance to look at them, and essentially these three continue to look at ways that the size factor could be modified. There are different versions of it here. One is you could throw a lot more money at those two areas and everybody would get more money. And the problem with that is that it doesn't reflect the costs at each of and all of the institutions. So you kind of get away from part of the formula, then the thesis of part of the formula, which is we want it to be based on actual costs. The other two versions here are more modest, and then what they create it by not being able to have high enough weighting factors there, they create a shortage in the actual appropriation that's gone to science, and so we have to use hold harmless to make that work. So long way of saying we don't really have a perfect model here yet. We've made some significant changes, I think, that that make sense, and yet we continue to struggle a little bit with this issue of weighting versus size factors, scale versus size factors. One of the things at the end of the meeting today, whether we complete or not, we have a couple of recommendations that we have been talking about in the committee and that we want to add to our actions as a group. And one that I want to mention at this time is that it's been suggested that we ought to be keeping the formula fresh by doing something similar to this each time. Maybe just simply having the higher ed folks keep the data up to use the formula, work through council, and keep the data current so that we have an opportunity to look at the formula in the regular higher ed committee going forward, and just simply if there's adjustments that we can make. And that would give us more time to look at the issues that remain, so to speak, no matter what we do today. So having said that, comments by anybody, questions or comments on any of the models? And what's your thinking? You know, this reminds me of when I was teaching calculus and I asked a tough question and there were no arms that went up to that had the answer or whatever. There was, but they were smart kids and they reflected and then they came through. So I'm maintaining my confidence that
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Shivers.
Great job of modeling. I think the modeling is really good. It's clear. I think it does a lot. You know, it kind of shows the simultaneous, you know, factors that are being put into place. And I think it gives us a really, you know, clear picture of the options. So I think from the standpoint of getting us to this point, I think the modeling has been really good.
Thank you, and credit goes to the young man on my right and to Tammy and David, and they have worked hard on providing this kind of information, so to speak.
Mr. Chairman, it certainly
Senator Holmberg
does point out those sticking points that we as a legislature have been concerned about, whether it's talking about the financing, the finance underpinnings of the two-year schools particularly, which has, I think most agree, has been a little short over time, and also looks at that issue of the size factor, which was no more than a convenient way to handle a problem some years ago, that the problem is still there, but there should be something better than a 1.7. So, I mean, it appears to touch all the bases. One has to, of course, look at what the cost would be, and if the cost becomes too high, and I don't know what too high means, but if the cost becomes too high, then there might be a concern on the part of legislators and some campuses that we are putting 15 point something million, what was that number, 15.6 or 13.7, that really directly benefits just a handful of the campuses. But I don't know what that number is, that's a tipping point, but I think we should do the best we can. If it's 15 million, it's 15 million, and if it's 12, it's 12. Because at the end of the day, the dollar amount will dictate a lot of what we do.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there's no question that from an appropriation standpoint, this will be part of the consideration at the end. My recollection in carrying the bill last time was that it was about $35 million was the new money, I think, for the biennium. And about 22 to 23 of that probably came from the formula, I think.
Mr. Chairman
Robinson.
Well, certainly, I think all of us appreciate the work that you and the committee has done, and Tammy and the council staff. Not to put you on a spot, but you know this as well as anybody. Is there a package here that you would recommend in terms of balance and fairness to the entire system, that at the end of the day probably is the place we need to be? And maybe that's, I'll probably be removed from the committee after asking that, but again, you spent a lot of time on this, and
this really does remind me of that calculus class, because those smart kids could throw that back at me real fast. And and I had a chance to visit with Dr. Richmond about this, and so I may as well say it publicly that the intent has certainly has been from the start not to hurt anybody, and that remains the intent. And one of the things that I have toyed around with is the fact that if we keep this process going, keep this fresh, we could take almost any of the models up through 3B, and they would work, because there's hold harmless in place, and it gives us time to identify more specifically. So, for example, if the issue is the size factor, And for me, what I don't care for in the size factor is the fact that it's applied against all of the credits. And I would like to have it be applied. I'd like to have the weighting factors reflect the actual cost. I think that's the piece that protects the integrity of the formula, is that you're looking at weighted figures, and then the other piece is you consider the size of the institution. I mean, it's absolutely a twin in many respects of the K-12 model. You know, bigger schools get less per weighted pupil. The weighting factors are there, different kinds of services, that different kinds of programs you're providing. So to me, I guess I if I was looking at one, I probably would lean towards I would say 3B. And the reason for that one is that that is as close to, it's a little bit more than actual cost at this point in time with the 3.0 factor. But this is a preferred area. One of the, and then if we did that, I would like a direction to the higher ed folks to be, figure out how we take care of that size factor and incorporate it directly into these two pieces, either into the weighting part of the formula, or into the number of credits, the scale kind of piece. I think that you could do that. There is a third model that Dr. Richmond and I talked about that could be looked at, and that would be, could you take the 1.7 and apply it specifically to the programs that have obvious big size factors, diesel mechanics being one that we're all pretty familiar with. Having anybody who's been on the campus knows that's a fairly good size space, and there's limitations in terms of how many students you can put through that because of the nature of the course and so on. So it would be and with that one, you don't with, and I will plead guilty. I was the one who asked my colleague to the right here to produce 3C. Excuse me. Wait a minute, just a second. Where's it? No, 3A, right? 3B.
Which one is it?
Yep. 3A. I asked him to produce 3A because what it does, I'm raising the weighting factor. It's not true cost, but it raises the weighting factor enough to make up for the differential and doing away with the size column. It's, but again, what we're doing is we're just messing with something that's not a true cost. So, Representative Martinson.
Mr. Chairman, you know, maybe you want to come out of here with just one proposal, but I'm not so sure that's what we should do. I think that people involved in this have really done a good job of putting some options together, and I know that in our division next session, we're not probably going to just look at one option, and we will be asked, you will be asked to say what were other things considered. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have schools talk about it. I don't see anything wrong with saying that we have three options that we can start with. I don't think that what we decide here is going to be what we end up with at the end of the session, because already you've said you've talked to a couple of people about, you know, making some changes. So, and you know, I will do whatever you want to do. If you want to come out with one thing, I'm more than happy to take a vote. But otherwise, we could certainly say, here are some options that we've decided. They all have pluses, they all have minuses, and that's going to be what we do in the legislature, is figure out the money that we have. Somebody decides, if we decide, well, we only have an extra X number of dollars we can put in higher ed, maybe we can do better, maybe it won't be as good.
Mm-hmm.
But I will defer to you on that because you put a tremendous amount of work in this. If you want one proposal, I'm more than happy with that too.
Well, here's a suggestion to what you've offered. What if we were to take one and say, if higher ed wants to keep working at this, and if you want to have something that might be even actionable during the session, this committee is going to not going to be looking at it, but or we could even, I guess we could convene when we get further down. I mean, this group is always the legislators are always in for the budget committee, so it's not like we don't have a few meetings left. But what we could do is we could take one and have that be our foundation, and then ask if they want to continue struggling with this singular issue, so to speak, and see what they can come up with. That, and then that would be ready for, like you say, legislative modification. Then, so we'd have the potential of having better information if we, as we wrestle with it during the legislative session. But the one I look at, again, I mentioned that the one with the multiplier of 3 there, I think that's close to actual costs that we have as of today. And if we were to adopt that, and then in our recommendation, the recommendation would be that you keep studying. We're going to do this in 2 years, but it doesn't mean you can't do it now. You can add that to that. And so if that piece could be addressed before session, we could, either way, if we go into session with that model and we have the hold harmless center, we haven't hurt anybody. Everybody on that sheet would end up with a little more to a lot more revenue than they would under the current model. Representative Bull.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we had visited in the past, I'm okay with quite a few of the changes. The part that I have a tough time with is the hold harmless. I guess my question is on the hold harmless. Is it our intention that the hold harmless will be forever, or is that a short-term solution?
Yeah. I haven't seen very many legislative bills that have been forever. Well. And particularly when it comes to finance models, they probably get more scrutiny on a pretty regular basis.
Well, if I can continue, yeah. Mr. Chairman. Well, I can see the need to come up with a good formula, for our universities and colleges in order to make long-term plans. They need a good foundation for a formula. The hold harmless really helps them in their long-term plans. But I don't know if there's a way to make it, to soften it a little bit so that it makes it more palatable for me. One of the things I've thought about is maybe you take a 10-year average and make that part of the 96%, so that would give a signal of what we're looking for, we talk about Wahpeton and their size factor. Is our intention that we're never going to address the size factor and we're just going to keep making an exception to put the money into it, or is there some kind of a direction we want to give them that they should maybe get their size factor more in line, if they look for a plan that'll do that? I mean, I'm talking long term, I guess that's all I have to say about it.
Thank you, Representative Boy. I think both those suggestions make good sense. You could look at, we've got hold harmless. If you wanted to have some kind of a backward look, so to speak, at what has been the what's been the history and base it on that. And I think, that's the second part is kind of what, if we adopt one of these, say this 3B as the working model, and they continue to work on that particular size factor, that's exactly what I think what you're suggesting as well is we don't want it to be forever, but we want it to be based on actual costs, and at the same time, not create a issue for any campus. So, Tammy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To go along with Representative Bowe's way of thinking, I think any one of these obviously does put a little more money into higher ed and makes some of the changes that we need, that have become evident that need to be made. The reliance on, I like the idea of getting rid of the institutional size factor without hurting anyone and getting the cost into the factors. I really like that. The heavy reliance on the hold harmless amount is a concern to me, mm-hmm. just because of all the issues that we've had with that over the years, and I don't think those will go away. If 3A comes closest to that, but I know the downsides to that as well is increasing everybody's, all the two-year schools. But I think that's something that we could work on and potentially even bring back to the higher ed committee or maybe include in our budget request too, so that the legislature would be able to address it if we could continue to look at those costs and maybe adjust the factor for certain credits. I mean, that's going to take more work because we don't have all the numbers put together that way. But we could work on that. My biggest concern with 3B and 3C is that heavy reliance on the hold harmless amount, just because of historical issues.
And I concur with that it is a big number, but it probably demonstrates that, there's something that's out of whack here. That's something that's not. And I'm not saying that Wahpeton doesn't have those costs. They do. That's not it at all. But the formula is not recognizing those. And that's what this is about, is getting the formula cleaned up so it realizes actual costs and makes that the basis of it. Yes, Cheryl.
Commissioner Chairman, if you look at, what down the road of what you were saying, that if you look at the large programs at CTE, which is diesel mechanics and, mm-hmm. all of the big areas. If you took the cost of the size factor of even 2.7 and took it times 1.7, which is the institutional size factor, you would get to 4.6. So I don't think the 4.0 would be out of realm of where, if you were going to weight the credits that were larger institutional size that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
But you're still then taking that number times the size or
taking,
a scale.
You're just taking it times the credits that are in that area.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Representative Martinson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if we don't like the size factor and we think that a school maybe is getting too much money because of the size factor and we eliminate it and just give them the money in another category, we haven't done anything.
Well,
we haven't accomplished anything. They're still getting the money. They're just getting it in a different column. And that's been the fallacy of this whole thing since it started, was to try and figure out how to make sure everybody gets the money, but just so it looks like it's all fair. Right?
Well, I guess in response to that, I would say that I have not heard anything or seen anything where we have dived in deep enough into what the actual costs are for some of these programs. And I think that could give us time to do that. If we continue to work at looking at this and freshening this, maybe we can't demonstrate that that size factor is valid. But we don't know. We just know on the formulas that we have been working with that there's an issue. But the formulas and the data that we've been working with, I'm not sure has taken into consideration the costs that are associated with that space, whether it's constructing, operating, maintaining, and limitations of those particular types of classes. Huge amount of space, limited number of students that can go in there. So they're pretty unique. And One of the reasons I get concerned about that is that if you can identify this now, and this is quote-unquote a hot issue, Dickinson would be a good example. Dickinson is doing dual mission work now. When we were in Williston and we looked at the diesel mechanics. They're offering it. What was your impression of the space when you were there? I mean, it was a garage that they use for maintenance facility, and they had a wonderful guy teaching it who was willing to do it. But if they're going to grow, they're going to have to come out of that garage, right? And when they do, then they're going to have a program that's got big space needs, limited number of students. So we know it. We know that the issue is there, that it exists, and the more we, but if we can't, and if we struggle with it a little bit, and we cannot get to the point where we can justify it, we at least have worked it. Further comments?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we just discussed the complexities of this whole process and the difficulty. I agree with the comments been made here, and I think there'll be a lot of changes following the work of this committee through the legislative process, to say the least. But I think the issues that have been identified are substantive in terms of that discussion. This is not an easy, quick fix. Mm-hmm. But I fully agree that we need to stay on top of this and keep it, as you said, fresh as we move forward. And maybe over a period of time, we can refine it to a better place than we are now. But I think we've made significant progress so far on the issues that have been identified in these formulas. And I'm okay going with one and using that as a base, if that's the answer. I don't disagree with Representative Martinson that we get into the session, all of this will be rehashed, I'm sure. And with your expertise, you're going to be called upon again and again. But I think it points to the seriousness of what we're doing and the effort of trying to be fair to the entire system. That's a tall order.
Well, one of the factors that could influence us if we do it that way is it probably the fact that the legislature might be messing around with it. I'd be pretty desperate if I was in the higher ed ranks and to get better data, because that should be the basis of the discussion. And the legislators will give their best swing at it, but we don't have if we don't have the background and we don't have the data, we got 80 days, you know, so it's, further comments? Any motions? Senator Robinson.
I would move that we move forward with Proposal 3B as a foundation, with the hopes that, as Tammy pointed out, there could be further review and study in the next number of months. And that's not going to prevent these other charts from coming forward as we get into the session. And I would imagine that there'll be a lot of changes before May 1st of 2021. But I would move 3B as our foundation proposal.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. Discussion. We'll do that after. Further discussion? Not call the roll.
Representatives, Chairman Sanford.
Yes.
Bo.
No.
Martinson.
No.
Senators Krebs Buck, Holmberg.
Yes.
Robinson.
Aye.
And members Ballinger.
Yes.
Collins.
No.
Dolan.
Yes.
Shivers.
Yes.
And Winiger is absent. Mr. Chairman, the motion carries.
Okay, Alex, do you have a bill draft for that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So in your stacks of paper, there should be a bill draft number 21.0044.01000. So 21.0044. This bill draft actually goes with proposal 3A. So in order to have it be for proposal 3B, we'll have to have a motion to amend it and then a motion to approve it, if that's the committee's wish. The amendment that's required is on the first page, line 11. Right now, because it was for proposal 3A, it's increasing that CTE credits from 2.0 to 4.0. If the committee wants to approve proposal 3B, that 4.0 will need to be amended to state 3.0. So if there's a motion for that.
Okay, do we have a motion on the bill draft to include a 3.0 rather than a 4.0? We have a motion. We have a second. Discussion. Call the roll.
Representative Chairman Sanford.
Yes.
Bo.
Yes.
Martinson.
Yes.
Senators Holmberg.
Aye.
Robinson.
Aye.
And members Ballinger.
Yes.
Collins.
No.
Dolan. Shivers.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, motion carries. Okay. And that was just for the amendment.
Yep.
So now a motion would be required to approve, to recommend the bill.
Okay.
So now that that bill draft has been amended, the motion would be for the bill draft 21.0044.01000 as amended to be approved and recommended to the Higher Education Committee.
A motion from Senator Robinson. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Holmberg. Discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Chairman Sanford.
Yes.
Bo.
No.
Martinson.
No.
And Senators Holmberg.
Aye.
Robinson.
Aye.
And members Ballinger.
Yes.
Collins.
Aye.
Dolan.
Yes.
And Shivers.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, motion carries.
Okay, committee, then we have, we've talked earlier about recommendations from the committee, and we've acted on some at a previous meeting, so we've got those already taken care of, those bill drafts and recommendations that were associated with them, and they dealt mainly with the legislative intent from the last session. But we have been talking about that we would want the higher ed folks to continue working on this in the short term, and we want to recommend that we also have a regular review of this at the during the next interim. So we would have two components to this. One is for the higher ed folks to continue working on this specific issue of the size factor for presentation or for use of the upcoming legislative session. And then the second component of it would be that we would recommend that the legislative management, that they have a committee review this again in the next interim. And the thing I would comment on here, I mentioned earlier that there's great similarities between the K-12 funding model and this one. And one of the lessons we have for us as legislators is the K-12 model, because we have not looked at it in the 8 years that we've looked at it. We've circled around it, but all of a sudden we came up for air this last time. And we have a model that has got a lot of flaws in it. And it's because we did not act, we didn't review, and or there were tough issues, and we, like we're talking about here with the size factor, and we didn't look at them in K-12. And as such, we've got districts that are levying 19 mills and have more wealth than Midas, and we have districts that are levying 60 like they're supposed to, most of them. And we get the same support for students across the state. So there's some really glaring examples in that particular model of not really following through. And so I think what we've done here, we've made several significant changes, but this is an important recommendation from the standpoint of it's not done, and we need to keep looking at it and keeping it fresh data, because the first column, weighted credits, is based on the fresh data on a regular basis. So that would be the one recommendation, and I'll just stop with that. If there's anybody willing to make a motion to that effect, we could act on it. Got a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Got a second? Discussion? Call roll.
Mr. Chairman, can you clarify what exactly this motion is for? Is it for biennial review by the university system, or specifically?
There would be two parts. One would be the biennial review, and the other part would be the direction for them to continue to work this interim on that issue of the size factor.
Okay. Thank you. Representatives, Chairman Sanford.
Yes.
Bo.
Yes.
Martinson.
Yes.
Senators Holmberg.
Aye.
Robinson.
Aye.
And members Bollinger.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Dolan.
Yes.
Shivers. Mr. Chairman, motion carries.
A second recommendation that we haven't spent a lot of time talking about this, but the higher ed folks did recommend that when we looked at the three-tier model that was put in place this last session by the legislature, where it relates to everything from maintenance to being able to save money and plan for long-term investments in major repairs or remodels or even new buildings. And we had the two and the tier two and tier three have got different matches. And that was done deliberately by the legislature with the idea being that it could possibly raise a little more money. The higher ed folks think that the model should be a, both two and three should be a one-to-one match. And so what they have asked is that we put those two together and just have a two-tier model. And so it, one of the things we had talked about earlier, at I think it might have been the first meeting, was the possibility that we could say to them that if they can demonstrate that they're using the three-tier system, it would be the basis of support for the recommendation. So whether the committee wants to look at that again at the end of the biennium, to that just have that be reviewed. It wouldn't be a bill draft here, it'd just be something that there should be a report that could be presented to legislative management or whomever at the end of the interim here, demonstrating how each of the institutions has utilized the three-tier system and what kind of maintenance and construction projects they're doing. And then Alex is reminding me the caveat, the other piece of that is that that information then that would be that higher ed would have ready to report would actually be brought by the president of the board of higher education and other leadership that he or she might like to bring to a meeting with legislative leadership. And legislative leadership then could use that information as the basis for preliminary bonding and or major construction projects. I think the institutions all have master plans. They make requests for facilities to the board. The board ranks them, and they come to the legislature for action. And the missing piece seems to be the legislature never, the leadership that actually drafts bonding bills or combination of bonding and cash never really gets that report that what's higher ed doing with their facilities? And do they have they used this three-tier system? Have they saved some money that they can bring match to the table when they have a request? That type of thing. So essentially what it's trying to do is recognize that there's a process with higher ed for dealing with their facilities. There's a process with the legislature, typically just called bonding, and there probably hasn't been the information that the legislative leadership should have in their hands before they actually start drafting that bill. And so as a result, higher ed gets a little bit upset because they ranked them 1 through 5 and we fund 1 and 13 and 88 or whatever, and it doesn't match the work that higher ed has done. So this is not requiring us to do that. It just is requiring that they're, or suggesting that they have this meeting so that there's better information when it comes time to drafting those bills. And Alex, is, if you agree with that, Alex is going to condense it to 2 sentences. So what's your take?
Thank you.
Tammy.
Mr. Chairman, I think the process you've outlined really aligns with the process that higher ed has in place now for as far as budget reviewing and stuff. We already can, we do track all those projects, so we will very easily be able to prepare a report for you that would demonstrate what you want it to demonstrate. And we would, I know the board would be more than happy to meet with legislative leadership whenever you would want us to review that with them. So we would be in agreement with the process that you've outlined.
Is that a motion?
That would be a motion.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Second for Mr. Ballinger. Discussion. Call the roll.
Representatives, Chairman Sanford.
Yes.
Bo.
Yes.
Martinson.
Yes.
Senators Holmberg.
Aye.
Robinson.
Aye.
And members Ballinger.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Dolan.
Yes.
Shivers.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, motion carries.
Okay. That's all I have on the to-do list for today. At this point in time, we would take comments by interested persons. Whoops.
Did you want to approve this bill, Drew? That gives the authority to do Dunbar Hall and Campbell Hall.
Oh, I thought we had done that.
No.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Sorry, missed the bill draft that you've got in front of you. This is one we worked on earlier. I forgot that you had to do the bill draft as well, but we approved this earlier, so I think it was at the first or second meeting, didn't we? Something that we talked about.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think it was two meetings ago, the committee discussed these changes and requested that we draft this bill draft. That bill draft was presented at the last meeting at Lake Region State College, however, no action was taken on it.
Yep.
So, at this point, along with that prior recommendation, this kind of goes with it.
Essentially, it takes care of the $700,000 limit that higher ed had requested be removed, and it clarifies some of the actions from the last session regarding Dunbar and use of which monies can be used for matching there. And so I think, yeah, we'd discussed it in a couple of meetings, but we didn't get to approving the clarification here, so.
Correct, Mr. Chairman. So the bill draft number 21.0021.01000, and some of the changes from current law include making it clear that the institutions are allowed to carry over the funding in the Capital Building Fund into future bienniums. As you said, that $700,000 limit on deferred maintenance and extraordinary repairs projects was removed, clarified some of the matching requirements, and then allows the Capital Building Funds to be used for NDSU's Dunbar Hall, NDSU's Egg Products Development Center, and UND's Gamble Hall.
Mr. Ballinger.
Quick question or clarification on this item. We had the matching, you know, I think we had to match like or commit to 70% or something before we can go into tier two or tier three. And did it remove that requirement too?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Ballinger, no, that 75% requirement is still there at, prior to. So it's on lines 16 and 17 on the first page.
Because that makes that requirement makes it extremely difficult. See, we're actually struggling with that requirement right now. So we have to spend all that money first, and I can't start those other projects until I spend all that money first, and then it goes into the second. I can't really get started on those other projects until the
middle of the second year of the biennium. Is that clear?
Mr. Bollinger, so rather than matched and spent, it's matched and committed. Oh. So as long as the funds have been committed to a project, okay. you'd be able to move forward. And that's just for using these funds for extraordinary repairs and deferred maintenance. You would be able to use them for the specifically approved projects like Dunbar Hall.
So as long as it's committed, and committed kind of means budgeted, I would assume. So that's
correct.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
So that works then. Okay. Further concerns? Do we have a?
No, there's no motion yet.
Okay. Need a motion on that? Bollinger moves. Is there a second? Mr. Shivers seconds. Discussion. Call the roll.
Representative Chairman Sanford.
Yes.
Bo.
Yes.
Martinson.
Yes.
Senators Holmberg.
Aye.
Robinson.
Aye.
And members Bollinger,
yes.
Collins,
yes.
Dolan,
yes.
Shivers.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, motion carries.
Okay, at this point then, we're ready to hear comments by interested persons regarding the higher education formula. Anybody in the audience have comments to make? Seeing none, we will bring these forward then and report to the Higher Education Committee. That's part of the charge of what happens with this work here. So at a future meeting, there'll be a short report on the changes that have been made here, the work of this particular committee, so that group has that information. And obviously the bill drafts will go forward and we'll report to legislative management and so on. And I am serious about hoping that higher ed folks can dive into this identifiable singular piece between now and legislative meeting in January, because I think not this January, the next one, but it's been kind of the bear in the closet, so to speak, and we've unleashed it a little bit here, and let's get after it and see if we can do a better job of identifying costs related to it and so on. And I think before we, anything else from committee members? If not, I again want to thank the higher ed folks for participating, not just the committee members, but people from each of the campuses. There's a lot of good things that have happened here, a lot of adjustments, and we've refined a lot. We're down to a tough issue, but we've got a lot of other things that have been cleaned up, I think, and are in a lot better shape with the work that's been done here. So thank you to the higher ed members and those that participated as well in your conference calls, and Tammy and Alex and David for facilitating that. That's been appreciated. And committee members, thank you for your work on this. And ultimately, I've got to just say thank you to Alex for he's grown into the role of taking the whip out and saying, this has got to happen now, and these kind of things. So he's steered this really aggressively, and I appreciate that. So thank you very much to all of you for your involvement, and we now need a... Pardon?
There's a couple motions.
Okay. I'll turn it over to the technician here.
Okay, so there's a couple final motions for the committee. One, as Representative Sanford was saying, there be the report and the bill drafts being recommended by the committee. So the motion for that is that the Legislative Council staff be requested to prepare a report and the bill drafts recommended by the committee, and to report the and to present the report and the recommended bill drafts to the Higher Education Committee and the Legislative Management.
So moved. We have a motion by Senator Holmberg, a second by Senator Robinson. Discussion. Call roll.
Representative Sanford.
Yes.
Bo.
Yes.
Martinson.
Yes.
Senators Holmberg.
Aye.
Robinson.
Aye.
And members Bollinger.
Yes.
Collins. Dolan.
Yes.
Shivers.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, motion carries. And then the final motion for the committee, which can be done on a voice vote, is that the committee be adjourned to sine die.
Is there a motion? I think Representative Martinson beat you. You'd be the second to the. Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We would like to see you hire a
thank you.
Get some more time on the files and things that I will have.
Yeah.